great song service. Man, that's just absolutely awesome. Them youth, I tell you what, I wish I had some of that energy and that everything you got there. I don't even know what words to use, but whatever you got, I want some of it. It looked pretty good. I tell you what, I love our young people. I love to see them carrying themselves in this dark hour, and I want to say a great thank you to Brother Matthew and Sister Brittany. And let's give the Lord a hand for what he's doing there. I tell you what, a youth leader is not an easy job. It is not an easy job. I've been there, and that's a heavy burden to bear, but it's also very rewarding. So God bless you for that. And young people, just keep carrying on. Just keep marching that fight. And we got a young sister back here going to be giving a baby in the next 9 months or so anyway. And so we're just praising God for what he's doing in it. You know, it's crazy because I remember looking at my sister Anna, and she was a little bitty thing. And now she's having where's time going? You know, time just slips by. And I don't see real good with my glasses, so sometimes I'll shave and I'll miss a couple spots. So what I started doing is wearing my glasses when I shave now. And I'm starting to see wrinkles. And I'm like, well, I didn't see that before. Take those things back off, you know. Things are changing as time goes on. Time is slipping away. You know, it seems like just yesterday, 2020 was starting, and here it's almost over. Time's slipping away, and I've heard people say it happens as you get older, but I don't know if it's just that or if it's just the way things are going. But I tell you what, it's flying by, right. And I think we should don't let time go so quickly we miss the things that are most important in this life. And your walk with God is the most important thing in this life.
Right.
Because I tell you what, you can gain $1 million, you can get the greatest muscles you could ever have, you can have all these great things, but I'm here to tell you, rapture morning. The only thing that's going to matter is, do you have what it takes? Amen. Let's go to St. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I did not give her that one scripture. I apologize for that. That's the one scripture I can give her. St. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And I'm really excited about what the Lord has given me to give to you this morning. I just pray that I could give it to you in the way he gave it to me. Just one scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in this house, Lord, in this building. But Lord, it's not the building, Father, it's the character of your people that makes the church, God. And Lord, being able to be in the midst of believers where we can talk about your word, Lord. The thing that we hold more valuable than any other thing in this life, Lord, it's you, it's your word, Lord. I ask you, Father, that you would forgive me of any weaknesses or in myself, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, may I be just as a yielded vessel before you, Lord God, that you could just step into this flesh, that you can speak lip to ear to your bride, Father. This is your congregation. This is your pulpit this morning, Lord. We love you this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated. Last night I was trying to just finalize a few things. You know, something that come across me is I'm going to ask myself, who is God? You know, what are some things if I was to talk to somebody in just a brief manner? How great is our God? And I was just a couple of minutes. I want to just write just a few things that I had wrote if I was to talk about who God is. And if I was to just real briefly be able to talk, I would say, God is the only true living God. Can you say amen? We serve a God that answers prayer. He's a God with vision. He's a God of authority. He's a God of strong character. He's a God of peace. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of grace. He is a God that can give you the first of months. He's a God that calls out. He's a God that leads into. He's a God that provides all our needs. He is a God that is faithful. He is a God that heals. He's a holy God. He's a powerful God. He's a God that cannot change. He is a God that's sovereign. He is a God of light. He is a God that gives life. He is a God of rest. He's a God of joy. He is a God of satisfaction. He is a God of deliverance. He is a God that opens eyes. He is a God that opens ears. He is a God that comes where he is welcome. And he is a God that hides himself in simplicity. You say amen.
Amen.
I could literally take 100 pages and write all the things that God is and not even scratch the surface of how great God really is. No, he's such a wonderful God and he's so good to us. And you know, we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. He's the one that put the desire in our heart. And I want to talk to you on a little thought this morning of conditioned for God's service. Conditioned for God's service. And man gives devil too much credit a lot of times. The devil can't create. How many knows that?
Right.
He can only pervert. You know, Brother Brown talked about how a husband and wife can be together in a way. And he said, and because you're doing it the right way, he said, there's nothing wrong with that. He said, but what's the devil do? He comes in and he brings a little slicker in there and causes a perversion. And that's what makes it filthy. And how many knows what I'm talking about? You know, Satan can't create anything, but what he can do is pervert. And he wants to pervert your walk. He wants to see a young son or a young daughter or that are walking this walk. And the devil wants to pervert your walk, because that's all he can do. And he wants to steal away your peace. He wants to steal your joy away from you. And I want to talk to you. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Read verses 5 through 8. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year when he went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah her husband said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? And am I not better to thee than 10 sons? See, she had the blessings. This was a woman that had the blessings of the earth. She had, and if I could say it this way, she was able to go get the new purse. She was able to go get the new shoes. She was able to do these things. She had the material blessings. Her husband was giving her a double portion of what these other women had. He loved her, gave her the double portion, but Hannah was not happy with that because Hannah didn't want earthly blessings. Hannah wanted the child. Hannah wanted something on the inside of her. And it shows her in the scripture, who was it that shut her womb? Was it the devil? It was God. It said the Lord shut up her womb. But you know what? As she went day by day, I meant that old devil got a lot of credit for that. I'm saying that devil has made it where she can't have a baby. That devil has caused this oppression on Hannah. That devil has done these things. A lot of times we give the devil credit when the devil don't deserve it. It was God that shut the womb. And what happened, it caused Hannah to come into a situation in her life, a desperation where she was not going to service like a normal person. Hannah was going to service with a burden on her heart. I'm going to tell you, I've been in both boots in that. I've gone to church where I have just gone to church. I've gone through the song service. I've put in the money in the offering. I've done those things. I went through all the motions. And I've also gone to church where I've got a burden on my heart because something is bothering me. There's something, a burden in me. And when I go to church, I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters. When you go with a burden on your heart, whenever you say, I've got a need, there's a deep call inside me. I got to have this need. And I'm here to tell you, when you go to service like that and you sing songs like that, you're going to sing with an anointing. You're going to sing with a power. And whenever you go to service like that and you're going to pull in on the Word of God, that preacher may not even have something on his heart, but because you've got a pull, you've got a burden on your heart, you can make that man preach something he wasn't even thinking about. Why? Because you have the authority as a son and daughter of God to pull on the Word. God put that burden inside her. God put the hunger inside her. God shut the womb inside her. And because God shut the womb, she was walking on a daily basis. And that devil was flooding her mind, saying, look at you, you're not even producing the life. Look at you, you're not producing anything. You've got the blessings. You've got the money. You've got all this. You've got the muscle. You've got this. But where's the life? That devil was haunting her, haunting her, haunting her. We're not talking just an hour, just a minute, just a day, just a week. We're talking day in, day out. That devil was haunting her. You've got the material blessings, but where's the life? You say you're the message of the hour. Where's the life? Where is it at? The devil was haunting her.
haunting. What was God doing? God was conditioning her to where her heart will come to a place when she goes to service. I'm not just going to service, brothers and sisters. I'm coming because I've got a need. I need God to answer my prayer.
Amen.
I need God to help me. What was God doing? God was conditioning her.
Right.
Do you know what? This woman was going to produce Samuel. This woman's anguish, this woman's pain, these things that this woman was going through was going to bring forth one of the greatest prophets the world has ever seen.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, the anguish that we're going through, the anguish as you can go through time that you say, I don't know why I want to produce this so bad. There's something inside me. I have a longing for it. I want it. I want it too bad. The sad thing is people don't want it. Oh, but I tell you what I want it. I want that life on the inside of me so bad where I go and people can see the evidence of the life.
Right.
I can say I'm pregnant all day long. But there's an evidence that can come forth to transform that will speak. I don't even have to say a word. The baby produces the life. I'm here to tell you, we're coming to a point where Jesus said, if you can't believe me, believe my works.
Right.
He said, these works and greater works shall you do because I go with my Father. You know, raising the dead, that's wonderful. I love to see you, that's fine. Praying for the sick, I love to see you, that's great, that's fine. But you know the one thing I want to see? I want to see people that are walking in the Word on a daily basis, overcoming that devil day in and day out.
Amen.
Amen. Because
right.
I'm telling you what, that's victory.
Amen.
Right.
You know, everybody wants to, you know, so God to push you through the pot and say, you know what, oh, I'm overcoming now. But it didn't work that way. God made Hannah go through the anguish. God made Hannah go through the pain of a day in and day out beating of the devil trying to fight her mind. But the whole time it was God shut the womb. Amen. The devil just tried so hard to take some credit. She wanted that baby so bad, she was bitterness in soul. And she prayed to the Lord and she wept sore. And she made the vow before the Lord. Said, Lord, if you will give me this baby, if you'll just give me this child, God, I'll never let a razor go to his head, and I'll keep him in the house of God. I'll keep him before the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, the bride of Jesus Christ said, oh God, if you just give me that double portion. God, if you just give me that double portion, I won't just go to church. I'm telling you, God, I'll go with power of the anointing, God, if you'll let me do it. Let me say, I'll do that.
Amen.
If God was to tell you, I'll give you a double portion of the Holy Spirit. God was to tell you this morning, I will give you a double blessing. Would you commit it to God? Say, God, you give it to me and I'll serve you the rest of my life the best I can.
All right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I will. Absolutely. She committed it and God answered her prayer. Hannah was not praying lightly. She was praying with a burden on her heart, and she produced one of the greatest prophets. David was a man that was familiar also with people giving the devil credit. Now, there was a time when David was walking through, and a man spit in his face. And one of his men was going to cut that man's head off for spitting in David's face. And David said, don't you do that. He said, maybe God told him to. You know, a lot of times, the person that cuts you off in traffic, a lot of times, the boss, that just, you know he's dead wrong, but he's going to criticize you anymore for something. Let me know what I'm talking about. You know, so many times, you can deal with the customer. You fill in the blank of your situation and what your adversary is, we'll just call it. A lot of times, you know what, that's the devil, that's the devil. Cut, you know, you wouldn't do that, you know, use the sword. But you know what? In yourself, what if it's God that told them to do that? What if it was God in your daddy and in your mama that knows how to rub you just right? Just knows how to hit that button. I told you, Elijah, pick up your shoes. I told you to do this. Now, he ain't done nothing wrong. I'm just picking somebody. He's my son. If you're part of the family of the ministry, you're going to get picked on. Elijah, you know what to do that? You know, she knows exactly what to say, exactly. And in his mind, he was on his way to go pick up the shoes. And before he could get there, Elijah, pick up your shoes out of the living room. And in his mind, I was on my way. Knows how to push that button just exactly right. And he's going to welding school. And he's on his way. And I was on my way to pick up the shoes. And she had to say, well, don't you pick up your shoes? What if it was God that told her? What if it was God that told Elijah to put the shoes on the floor and that she was to walk by and see the shoes and feel that thing come up?
Elijah, pick up your shoes! We haven't had a problem with shoes, but I'm just...
What if it was God that put that in Elijah to leave those shoes on the floor? You know, the people that can get your push your button the best is the ones you love the most. And I've said this many times. Don't you know the button to push? And you won't just push the button. You ever seen a kid, you have a little child, and you say, do not touch it again. What will they do? They'll look at you and go, amen. I've had four. Don't know the button. I'll tell you what. Sometimes it's the ones that are closest to you. And a lot of times the person that's doing it to you don't even know they're doing it to you. They have no idea. They're completely oblivious to it. No, the pastor cannot shake your hand. He can walk up and shake someone's hand and look right at you, and something will come to his mind that I need to go talk to them about somebody and look right at you. Turn away and walk over and start doing it. And the devil can get on your shoulder and tell you he looked right at you and did not even shake your hand. But don't even shame on you. He knows what I'm talking about. The devil will work just like that, and he'll cause you to have a grudge on that, and that devil, before you know it, Brother Tony looked at you, and he thinks you're overweight. He thinks you've got all kinds of problems, and the devil will fill a list this big, and next thing you know, Brother Tony absolutely hates you and hopes you quit coming. That's exactly how the devil works. He'll put a little stinky thinking thought inside your head, and he'll feed on that and feed on that and feed on that, and next thing you've got a full story that took place, and Brother Tony has no idea what you're talking about. Amen. I mean, I was here a while back, I told you, I said two things the devil will fight you at really, really hard on. He'll fight you against prayer, and he'll try to fight your confidence in the pulpit. That's exactly right. That devil will try so hard. Why would it be so important for the devil to want to do that, to break communication to where you don't want to listen to the pulpit? Because God put a gift in Brother Tony's life before the foundation of the world that he was going to be your pastor. And God will put him through trials in this life, or he'll go through things he don't know why he's going through, but the reason he's going through what he's going through is for you. Because it's going to cause him to preach in a way just like Hannah's going to pray in a way like he never even thought he would.
Right.
It's going to put a burden on Brother Tony where he is packing this burden. He's moving. He's trying to pack this burden so hard, so heavy. But guess who he has beside him? God put his wife, Sister Lisa, that will stand beside him and pick him up, and he'll fight battles we don't even know about. But the devil will fight in a way, friends, where he will, one of the greatest things the devil can ever try to do is try to cause that man lose feeling for the people. Hello?
Right.
Do you think Brother Tony's obsolete for that battle? Brother Brennan was to the point where Brother Brennan said, you know what, I preach about it. I tell people how they should dress. I tell people what they should do. I preach these things. I preach them over and over and over again, and people don't want to listen. You know what I'll do? I'll just go to the mountains. I'll live in the mountains. He said, when God gives me a message, I'll come down, and God showed him. If you want to listen to it, go to Standing in the Gap. Brother Brennan talks about it. He says, I'll go move in the mountains. I'll hear the word. And when God gives me the message, I'll come down out of the earth. And God showed him I'm being a bum. He said, you'll be a bum. He said, your wife will leave you. She'll never stay with you. Brother Brennan was a man that I would say that if God ever blessed a man's ministry, it would be him.
That's right.
And I'm here to tell you, if he went through that, he'll fight the pulpit that way, the same way.
That's right.
Amen. And I say that fervently to say, we need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray that God will help him. Amen. Brother Tony and I never spoke anything about that. So let's, he didn't have anything to influence me in saying that. I'm here to tell you, we need to pray for our pastor. But sometimes the guy that cuts you off in traffic, the rude customer, the boss that gets under your skin, maybe God told them to do that. Why? To try your character and to condition you for prayer. I've heard many people say, God will never put more on you than you can ever bear. How many people say, heard people say that? I tried looking in the Bible to find it. I never could find it. You know what I mean? He says, you'll never be tempted more than you can bear. But we people say all the time, God will never put more on you than you can bear. We'll say it all the time. I've said it. Scripture says you'll never be tempted more than you bear because God will leave a way of escape. But you know what would happen if you never had anything more on you than you could ever bear? You know what would happen? You would never need to pray. That's exactly right. If God never allowed anything more on you than you can bear, there would be no need for you to have brothers and sisters. If there was never more on you than you can bear, there'd be no need for you to have someone to help you during your time of trial.
Right.
Here's just carry one another's burdens. Amen. So that you can be tempted more than you can bear, but you'll never go through something more than you can bear. Amen.
Right.
I said that backwards. You can be tempted more than you can bear, but you can go through things that you can bear. I see stuff back here, I'm like, trying to keep my eyes straight. You can be tempted more than you can bear until God gives you the way of escape.
That's right.
But you will go through things in your life where you cannot bear it yourself.
That's right.
Because whenever you go through that, those times, when it's a time where you can't bear this yourself, that's when you can depend on God. I'm here to tell you, Hannah could not carry that anymore. Hannah carried that burden of wanting a child as long as she could until God could come in and God could open the womb. Amen. God always wants us to have, God wants us to have more than we can bear, that we can depend on Him. And Hannah needed God. She could not do it herself. It was God that shut up her womb, and it was God that opened it. There was a prophet by the name of Elijah that spoke according to the will of God and said, "It will not rain nor dew." And the devil would love to take credit for all the hardships during the lack of rain. I want you to stop and take notice of what I'm really trying to say here. During that time, whenever he said, "It will not rain, it will not do," I want you to take notice of this. We're talking about something that was worldwide on here, and there was no rain. There was no water. And we're talking about an absolute devastation to where crops would die, waters would die. It wasn't like today where you've got the TV dinners and things like that. We're talking about a time whenever it was an absolute hardship on the earth. How many people gave credit to the devil during that time? I'm saying that devil sure is fighting us, because the devil won't let it rain. The devil has caused this hardship of this pressure because the devil's causing it. People say, people sit around the table, "I don't know why it won't rain like that." I'll tell you why I won't do it. The devil. The devil's causing it. The devil gave credit for he didn't even do. Who was it that put it on Elijah's heart to say, "It will not rain"? Who did that?
God.
Right. Who was it that answered the prayer that said the rain will stop? God. But who was the people give the credit to? The devil. You think we're under a lot of pressure right now? A lot of people say, "It's the devil." Don't get me wrong. The devil influences people. But I'm here to tell you, God's still in control.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
God is still in control. When there's a famine, if there's ever been a famine in the land, it's today. And it's for the hearing of the word of God. I'm here to tell you, a lot of people say, "Well, they want tongues. Well, speak in tongues, all these things." Those things are great. But you know what? The greatest thing was the hearing. Because they heard it in their own language. When they spoke in the tongues, they heard it all in their own language. So the gift isn't in the speaking. The gift is in the hearing. And just as sure as God can shut the womb and open the womb, God can shut the ears. And God can open the ears.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, we need to reverence the times whenever God will speak to our heart. God will speak. We need to reverence that, because a lot of people didn't reverence that.
That's right.
There's a lot of people walked with the message. There's a lot of people that walked with the prophet. A lot of people did these things. But guess what? Because they received not the love of the truth, God's in strong delusion that they will believe a lie. I don't recommend anyone doing this because it's absolute confusion. But I remember, I wanted to see when people started leaving the message, great big giants of the message, supposed to be great teachers of the message. I wonder, why are they leaving? If they're leaving, why are they leaving? And you know what their argument is? He said this about the bear, and it wasn't exactly this. He said it on this day, this over this day. I don't care about the bear. Did what he preached line up with the word of God? Well, yeah. But what about this? Show me in the message where it's wrong. Show me in the message where it doesn't line up with Scripture. Well, I can't do that, but I can tell you about this. He said this on a day. This took place on this day. Then he said this day. Let me ask you something. How many times have you talked about a testimony about what God done in your life, and you said the date's wrong? You said this wrong and this wrong?
That's right.
You said it wrong, but I'm going to ask you, did it happen? Well, yeah, I've helped it, but you didn't say the right thing. Who cares if I said the right thing? Is what I'm saying lining up with Scriptures?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
The devil wants you to put their argument has nothing to do with, is he preaching the word of God? Is he said that that's wrong? He was a man. He was a flesh.
That's right.
If I never saw the cloud in the sky, that had no bearing on me. If
I never saw the pillar of fire in the picture, it had absolutely no bearing. I didn't even know there was a picture of the pillar of fire until I've been following the message for a long time. And you say, well, how can you do that? Because this is back whenever the cell phone was a cordless phone. Dylan was looking through photos one time, and he saw my first cell phone that I had. Whenever he was a little baby, I had him in my arm, and I had this big old phone about that long sticking inside my pocket with an antenna, and it was a cordless phone that you could get so far from the house, and once you start getting close, it starts beeping out. Hang on a minute, I got to get back. It's getting kind of staggy. Got to get back. That's right. When I come to the message, you know what? I had a couple of books. I had God Sent a Prophet Visit South Africa, and As the Eagle Stirs His Nest, and I had my Bible. And I'm telling you what, I was reading that Bible, and there was a fire coming from those books into my heart, a fire from the Bible coming into my heart. And I was going through this, to my knowledge, that was the only two books there ever was. And I remember, I won't say the brother's name, but I visited a brother. He invited me to his house. I was going to help him move, and I'm moving him, and he was a believer. And I moved him out of the house, and I kept carrying some books, a box of books. And I remember I was going into the, I said, what do you want this? He said, take him to that room there. And I went to that room, and when I opened that room there, I opened it up, and I had this box of books, and the bottom fell out as I was trying to stick him up on top of the closet. When it fell open, when I did that, these books fell out. And it was a whole bunch of spoken word books. And I don't know how to explain it, but I put those books up on the top of the shelf. I don't know why. I don't know how, but something inside me said, you better take a look at that. I looked down there, and I'm telling you what, there were spoken words. Where did these come from? I said, are these Brother Branham's books? He said, yeah. He said, those are, I said, he wrote them? He said, no, he didn't write them. He said, no, those are recorded. They put those on books. They took what he said and put it on book. I said, are you serious? He's like, yeah. I'm serious. Like, oh my gosh. I sat there and had my feet sprawled out on the floor. And I take a book and I start reading just a little bit. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And I put it down. I grabbed another one. And I was reading just a little bit of it. And I was just weeping. I had tears coming out of my eyes. And I put it down. I grabbed another book. And next thing I know, I had four books open beside me in the room. And I was sitting there holding these books. And there was something inside me. I was like, oh my goodness. Well, he ain't seen me in a while. And he came back and he said, brother, are you helping me move? I'm sitting here. I was like, brother, I said, why didn't you tell me about this? He said, well, brother, you can take all you want if you want to. I've got a bunch of them. I took that whole box home. And my wife didn't always get to talk to me very much at all because all I did was read and I was just feeding on that. I say that to tell you, I didn't have all the multimedia junk. I didn't have everyone's interpretation of this junk.
That's right.
All I had was my Bible, this book, and my knees on the floor. Where I could pray and say, God, I want to know truth. If you will show me your truth, God, I will serve you the best I can. And I'm going to tell you, that's when I really started my walk with God. And then later on, eventually, I saw a pillar of fire. I said, there's a pillar of fire on top of this? Wow. There's a cloud on top of this? Wow. I could care less if I've ever seen it. But does the message line up with the word? Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, friends, we say we have a message. And Brother Tony, I'm kind of talking about the Old Testament last weekend. He's talking about the shadow. Shadow coming forward. And you can see my shadow right here. If you look at my shadow coming this way, it's projecting, my body's projecting an image. And the closer I get to that, the more that image should look more of really who I am. And this is what I'm saying. This message projects an image. Jesus Christ is an image. And there was a time when that image looked kind of off a little bit, and you could get by with that.
That's right.
But we're at the end time, and the Word has been opened. And we're in a time now to where that image, our walk, we are that image. We should look a whole lot more like what that message says we should look like.
Right.
How many knows what I'm talking about? I say this because you know what? We're in the day of Laodicea where it will, I don't know a whole lot about doctors. But you know, I remember my wife was in the doctor's office. They had a little machine that was going up like this. You see that heart rate going up, and every time she would have a contraction, you'd feel it. You'd see the huge parts of that. You'd have And you know what? You've got this walk with Christians where you've got your high days and you've got your low days. And it's perfectly fine. You're human. You're going to have those. But I'm here to tell you, the last thing you need is a lying woman just like this. Because you know what that means? You're dead.
That's right.
And who to tell you, if you're going week in and week out, day by day, you're not high in the Lord, you're not low in the Lord. You're just going just like this. You say, well, that's because I'm a strong Christian and I don't fight. No, you're dead. I'm here to tell you, there should be the high points. You're going to go through the low points.
That's right.
You can't stay down there, and unfortunately, while we're here, we can't stay up there.
Right.
You should put it down. Brother Branham said that we would be the victorious church, the invincible army. We absolutely are. Because as we're moving forward, I've got my high point. That devil may cause me to fall, but you know what? Oh, God, forgive me. God, take me right back up to the top for you. But friends, you can't be going like this. Repenting is a great thing. You come to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. That's wonderful. You receive water baptism. Praise God. But you can't stop there. In fact, as far as your walk has gotten, I'm here to tell you, you're walking just like this. But there should be a progression to where we are starting to present the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why are we going through the trials we're going through? You think it's because? No, it's because God, this world has nothing to do with the only thing it's doing is because God is conditioning his bride. God is causing his bride to get into a condition where you'll pray like you've never prayed before. There's more pressure in this day than there's ever been in any other day. Amen. And I've got to get back to my notes because I keep rabbit trailing and stuff. But I'm here to tell you, I believe it to be the truth, friends. We can't keep going like this. I'm not saying everyone is. Understand. Just like combing your hair. I said, when you're combing a hair, if it goes through, praise God. But if it snags, and if you feel something poke when it hits you right there, I'm telling you what, that's God speaking to you, friend. To where you cannot keep going just like this. There should be a progression in your walk. There should be a maturing going on. If you take a child, a grown man, and he's still thinking and talking like a six-year-old, there's something wrong. There has to be a maturing coming. But this prophet, he spoke according to the will of God, and he said, it will not rain, and it will not dew. And the devil would love to take credit for all the hardships for the lack of rain. After they did this, God told Elijah, he said, Elijah, I want you to go over to this brook, he said, because I'm going to give you water. And I'm going to give you food, and these ravens would feed Elijah. And God did that for a little point, but God finally told him, he said, Elijah, I want you to go over to Zarephath, because there's a woman that I have prepared for you. There's a woman that's going to, I want you to go. I have already commanded her that you're going to dwell with her. And if you look in the scriptures on that, this woman, he said, he didn't say you're going to pass through. He said, you're going to dwell with this woman. This was a woman that had just enough meal to feed her and her son one more time. This was a woman that was feeding herself on the eating the cakes. And Elijah came to her, and Elijah looked at her, and he says, go get me a drink of water. As she went to go get the drink of water, he said, no, make me a cake. And this woman, think about this, this is a woman that was walking in turmoil. This is a woman, I believe, that was of faith. This was a woman that believed God. This was a woman that was walking and had the two sticks in her hand. This is a woman, without doubt, was a woman that believed God. God didn't say, Elijah, I'm going to take you to the rich people's house because they've got a barn plumb full of grain that you're going to go feed. No, God took her to the poorest house. God said, I want you to go to this little woman over here because she's going to let you dwell with her. I want you to go here because she's going to allow you to dwell here. This is a woman that was literally, absolutely had nothing to offer. This is a woman that literally, she said, I don't have enough food to feed everybody. She said, all I have is enough food that I'm going to be able to feed my child and me, and we're going to die. If we were to look at our carnality at that, we would say, what a jerk. This guy is a prophet of God. This is a man that spoke for the water to stop. This is a man that said it will not rain, no dew will come down. This is the man that caused this. And he's going to go to a widow?
He's going to go to a woman that's starving to death and the son is starving to death? You're the one that caused this, and you're going to go to her house and you're going to say, feed me first? The world can look at that in a carnality and say, excuse a rude expression, what a jerk. You caused this and you're going to say that? That's because the world's thinking isn't like God's thinking. The reason God wasn't sending him Elijah over here to the richest house for the grain, because God was sending her to somebody that would respect the anointing. God was sending Elijah somewhere to somebody that would receive the word for her hour. And because she went there, this woman, there was some, imagine her, she is in despair. I don't have any food. My boy is starving. Day in and day out, I've seen him go from a thick, chunky little boy to thinner, thinner, thinner. And this whole time telling her, son, God's going to provide. God's word is true. God's going to answer our prayer. And day by day, no rain, no dew. And the meal barrel goes empty, 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 empty. And she keeps testifying to her son. God's going to provide. God is the Almighty. God is the Alpha and Omega testifying. And the meal barrel keeps going empty, empty, empty. Until finally, she's at her weakest point. And she says, we're fixing to eat our last meal and we're going to die. And there's something inside her that says, I don't have anything to give, but I know this is God's man. I know this is God's anointing. And something inside her says, I'm going to take what I have, and I'm going to give it to him first. And because God did that, her meal barrel, he said, fear not. He said, because when you do this, your meal barrel will never go empty, and your cruise oil will never go dry. If there's ever been a time whenever the meal barrels are going empty and the oil is going dry. He said, Brother Daniel, what are you talking about? A lot of people got that Holy Ghost on their flesh and they'll serve God for just a little while, but where have they gone? They've taken their flight.
Right.
That's exactly right. Their meal barrel has gone dry. And they're saying, you know what? I get more from a denominational teaching than I do that. You know why? Because they did not respect the anointing that God gave. They did not respect the visitation that God gave them.
That's right.
And because they did not respect the visitation God gave them, God's in strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. Mm-hmm. You talk to those people that have walked, they sincerely believe they're right. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God sent a strong delusion. Why? Because they would not receive the love of the truth. Recently, a lot of people like the truth because they like to debate people. And they like to win. But I'm here to tell you, when you get the revelation of this word, it will humble you. That's exactly right.
Right.
This woman saw an absolute miracle, and throughout the famine of 3.5 years of no rain, no coming down, her meal barrel never was going to go dry. I want you to stop and think about this for a minute. This woman had such a respect for this man, of the visitation. She had such a respect for the visitation that took place for her. She put a room in the house. I'm here to tell you, she did not put him in the basement. Hello? She didn't put him in the cellar. She didn't put him in the barn, outside the street. You know where she put him? In the chambers of the house. She respected it so much, she wanted this word to be put up high in a position where she reverenced this word. And I'm here to tell you, she didn't conduct herself in a way that chased away the anointing of God for that hour. She had a respect for it. I can't say this loud enough, friends. Let's go outside.
Yes.
She brought a respect for the anointing, the visitation that God gave her. She had such a respect for it. She conducted herself in a way that where he would say, you know what? I feel comfortable here. I feel comfortable dwelling here. I'm going to ask you something. If God was to come to you privately and talk to you, could God feel comfortable? Could God feel comfortable where he would want to dwell in your house? You know, you can talk to some people just for a few minutes. That's about all you can bear.
Right.
But you've got other people you can sit and you can just talk to them for hours. Because there's a bond. But let me tell you something. If you're talking to somebody, if you ever talk to somebody and there's just something ain't right,
I'm not talking about they're weird about what they talk about. Like, I don't even know. You know, I started to say something, but I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not talking about someone that talks about silly stuff that's just nonsense. I'm talking about you can talk to some people, but there's a spirit on them. It just ain't right. There's something about it. You know, a lot of people can put on an image. Let me show you something. You take somebody that is talk about someone that's paralyzed. You take someone that's paralyzed and they can't move. You can put them up here and you can position them, you can clothe them just right, that they look just as lively as possibly can be. And if you position them just exactly right, you would never know they're paralyzed. But you know how you know when they're paralyzed? When you see them get up and move something. Get up and do something. Mm-hmm. It's the motions. And there's a lot of people that got an image that everything is okay. They're sitting still. They're okay. They're dressed. Their hair's fixed. They're wearing their finest shirt. Clothes, they're doing all these things, but I'm going to ask you something. Where is the motion? Where is the living? Where is the action? Because I could sit here all day long, but if I'm not doing anything, there's something wrong. You can be on a football field. You say, but I ran, I hustled, I tried hard, I cried, I bled. Did you win the game? In your position. But I did. When I was in the basketball game, I tried. I ran hard. I did. I realize you're saying you put a lot of effort into it. I'm asking you, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Amen. I'm not asking you, are you trying? I'm asking you, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Because we have a position we got to fill, brothers and sisters. And if we're not filling the position, we're backslid. Is that okay? If you are not filling your position, you're backslid. If you're not walking the walk that God called us to walk in, we're backslid. I want more. There's something inside me that groans inside me and says, we can have more. We can walk in more. You can have more victory. You can have more joy. You can have more of the Holy Ghost. You can have more happiness. You can have these things. But you know what? The devil wants us to walk just like this. Are you ever really on fire? Well, no. But I'm not in the bars, Brother Daniel. Are you having a prayer life? And I don't say this. I put myself in a corner too. I was asking, how much did you pray last week? How much time did you spend alone in prayer? How much time did you spend alone reading your Bible? How much time did you devote yourself to hearing the word of the prophet? How much time did you devote yourself to your consecrated time with God? You don't have to advertise. I'm asking you, as your brother, how much time have you been spending with God? How much time have you been seeking God? But how much time have you been watching sports? How much time have you been watching the politics? How much time have you been on Facebook? How much time have you been on social media doing your pictures? I'm here to tell you, in that hour, there's not going to be an excuse. Rapture morning, when you say, I missed the rapture. I missed it. You're not going to have an excuse. You're not going to be able to say, well, this. No. We have an equal opportunity. But what are we doing with the opportunity? We've been given a message. We've been given a visitation. What are you doing with the visitation? God put the Holy Ghost on your flesh. Praise God. What are you doing with it? Because I'm here to tell you, if you've got the Holy Ghost on your flesh and that's all you've got, guess what happens? When you leave church and everybody says goodbye and you hit the stop sign and you turn whichever direction you're going, you go walking with the world. And you are projecting an image of the world. You got the Holy Ghost on your flesh, and that's all you got. I'm here to tell you it's not enough. Mm-hmm. You've got to have that Holy Ghost on the inside. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to come in reverence to God's anointing and say, God, I want to hold on. I'm here to tell you, I believe if he was to try to leave her house, she would have grabbed a hold of his foot. She would have held on to him no matter which way he tried to go. She would have held on to him. She wasn't going to let him leave her house. Why? Because that was God's visitation. There was something inside her that recognized this is God's visitation. And there came a time when her child died. Her child got sick. And you know what? If you look at the scriptures, what she said, "Thou man of God, have you come to remind me of my sin?" Scripture says. "You come to remind me of my sin and cause my child to die?" How many times, whenever something bad happens to you, something bad will happen, and you'll say, "It must be because of the sin that I've done in my life in my past. That's why I'm going through what I'm going through. It must be the sin in my past that caused." That's the devil that brings back up your past. That's exactly right. When you put it under the blood, brothers and sisters, God don't even remember it anymore.
Right.
Perry Green talked one time about he had vision. I won't say that out of respect for my brother. But he was talking about things, thoughts that were coming through his mind. They were absolutely horrible. Going through his mind. He talked to the prophet God. He said, "Brother Brown," he said, "I prayed about it and asked God to forgive me." He said, "Well, brother, were you sincere?" He said, "Yes, brother, I really was." He said, "But then I did it again. That thought came to my mind again. I did it." He said, "Oh, God, how'd I do this?" He said, "Brother Perry," he said, "when you pray that second time, it was the first time. God don't even remember the last time." I'm going to tell you, there's things you can change if you keep falling in certain areas of your life. But whenever you repent to God, God don't remember anymore. Amen. And she said, "Thou man of God, why have you come here? You come to remind me of my sin, to bring death to my child?" And the prophet took the child. He went up to the place where he was staying. And the prophet, being a man, "Oh God, why did you let this happen? God, have you caused me to bring this burden upon this family?" And he went on this child three times. God brought a healing to this baby. God brought life back to the baby. It was her visitation that came. Her visitation came to her. And because her visitation, her oil and her grain never went dry. And then she came to a serious need in her life. And during this serious need, this is what I'm trying to get to you. She had a serious need come in her life. Would you say losing your child is a pretty serious need?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking reality. Not just a story. I'm talking about her child was dead. It was a serious need. And during this need, she could have went and tried to find some false prophet or something to try to help her. She could have run and done this. She could have run and done that. She could have tried to call the hospital. But what was her first response? Take it to the prophet.
Correct.
Take it to the word. I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a need, brothers and sisters. And there's a need coming at that. And there's going to come a time where you've got to make a decision. What are you going to grab for?
Right.
I'm going to tell you just a quick testimony. When I had the hog farm, I was working on a hog and a little baby, and I was fixing a rooster. And I had a scalpel in my hand. And whenever I was going to go to do the work that I needed to do, I needed to do a cut on that. The guy that worked for me walked up to me and shouted really loud right next to me, and I was sitting down, I had the hog between the legs, shouted at me really loud. He said, "Hey, what are we gonna do about this?" And when he did that, I cut the whole tip of my finger. And I'm telling you, I cut this finger all the way through. It even cut through the fingernail. The whole tip of my finger flipped backwards. And the whole finger on the end of it flipped backwards. Blood was going everywhere. And I had a decision to make. And I went through there, and I was probably having to go from here to almost to the corner of the street, how far I was away from the house, because I was in the way back part of my barn. Blood was just, I'm talking, pouring out of my hand. And I'm going through there, and as I'm getting to the house, I'm literally seeing white. And I feel like I'm fixing to pass that. And little Malachi, just a little bitty baby, sitting in a high chair. And I seen him, like, "Oh, Lord, don't let him see this blood." So I went to the bathroom, as I'm fixing to pass out. Something inside me said, "Speak the word." And I had a prayer cloth that Brother Brenham had that was given to me. I was able to get my wallet and I got that prayer cloth out. And my finger was, I'm telling you, blood was pouring.
And I took that prayer cloth and I stuck it on the inside of my finger like that. I said, oh God, you know I'm in a desperate need right now and I need help, God. Please help me. His blood is pouring. And no more. I said, amen. God is my witness. I opened my hand up and the bleeding completely stopped. And I took the water on it and it hurt like crazy. I'm here to tell you, that same God that did that is the same God here this morning. And I'm here to tell you, Brother Dana, did you feel Holy Ghost bumps? No, I didn't. I was literally scared. What am I going to do? The whole end of my fingers off, and I've lost so much blood already trying to get here. I'm going to tell you, in our time of need, God has got the answer. And Brother Tony says, you watch where I point and where I point. Well, I'm pointing doing the same thing this morning. The prophet was up in the attic in the chamber. Whenever you put the word in its right place in your life, God can work. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, if she would put that prophet down in the basement, it ain't going to work.
Sure.
You put the prophet out in the shed outside, it ain't going to work. How many of you would say, Brother Daniel, I don't raise your hand if you're serious. How many of you would say, Brother Daniel, I need more God.
Amen.
I need more. I don't want to be someone with a stuffed shirt. You know what happens if you're a stuffed shirt? You walk around acting like a stuffed shirt. I've got this. And then the knees really rise, and guess what? You ain't got nothing to do with it. You ain't got the goods.
Sure.
I would rather look like I don't have the goods, and then the need arise, and I can meet the challenge. If you were to look at the rich people across the street, the Joneses, during that widow's time, you'd say, which one has God blessed more? God has blessed. Look at the blessing God has done to the Joneses. Their big house, I seen them today, they were out at the pizza parlor. They were at the steakhouse. And look at that little widow woman. If she was one of God's, God would surely be providing the finances where she would have no problem paying her bills. If she was one of God's, she wouldn't be struggling. She wouldn't be going through this trial. If she was one of God's, I'm here to tell you, if you ain't going through trials, you got problems. That's right. I'm going to give you one more little testimony that happened just the other day. You know, we talk about testimonies that happened a long time ago, but I think it's good to update as time goes on. Talk about what God does. Amen?
Yeah.
We've had, probably, along with everybody, the hardest years we've probably ever had in our entire life this year. It's just been tough. We've had 5 losses in family in this year. It's just been tough. I love my Aunt Peggy very much. I mean, I can't tell you how much I love her. She's like my mom. She was there for our family. She was there for our birthday parties. She was there for this time of the year for Thanksgiving. I'm so used to, I literally picked up my phone the other day to call her, and I forgot she's not alive anymore. Seemed like everything that could possibly go wrong has been going wrong for us lately. I can familiarize with what Job was talking about whenever he must have felt like when things are going wrong. Like, oh my gosh, how could anything else go wrong? That savings come up and just stuff come up. You have to pay. And thank the Lord, our needs are met. We're doing fine. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That's like we're taking 2 steps forward and 50 steps back on everything. It's like everything going wrong and our septic tank, we've had nothing but problems with that thing for the longest time. And you have to go out and dig in it. And last weekend, I told the brothers, I said, I don't think I should play pickleball because I'm in my back. I don't think I should. And I talked myself into it anyway. I did it. And my back has just been a really tough week. And I don't know why. It was just a burden for my aunt. And just stress going on with my dog, just different things. And Vicky called me and she said, she called me and I said, hey, I think we're pumping our septic tank. And sure enough, the pump went out again. And I'm going to the store to get the parts. And I'm worried because I had to cancel my insurance because it's so ridiculous on price. And the devil was haunting my mind with everything you could possibly imagine during this time. And I was going through the parts store and my back, I was like, I got to dig that up. And my back just don't feel like it. And the kids are at school. And the devil started haunting my mind as hard as can be and said, you know what, throw up your hand. You may as well quit. He might as well, you know, he might as well just give up. How many ever have had the devil try to tell you that? The devil kind of do that, and I don't know how to explain it. The devil said, you ought to throw up your hands. And I said, you're exactly right. I want to throw up my hands. I'm going to praise the Lord. And I was going through Home Depot. Praising the Lord. And I'm thinking trouble may come in your way. And I'm just thinking to the Lord. And I'm telling you, with just a peace come across me. All that darkness coming off of me. And all of a sudden, my phone goes off. And my boy texts me. He said, hey, Daddy, I heard you got problems. He said, well, I got you back. I'm here. And all of a sudden, I can't even explain to you the peace that I had from then to today. Such a peace, such a joy, such a long suffering, such a, I don't even have the words to tell you how supernatural. I would rather have that than a supernatural healing. Dead raised. Because it was showing me that, you know what, we have the authority as sons and daughters of God. We can create an atmosphere. Brother Tony, or Brother Tim, you know that song, brother. It'd be okay with me anymore singing. I love my Aunt Peggy, but I believe I'll see her again. With all my heart, I want to believe it. And I don't want to say these things that put burdens on you to make you feel heavy, but I say to tell you, if you go through what Brother Daniel said I've gone through, the same way God come on the scene for me, he'll come for you. But we got to hold this word in the right place. And when that brother, and then when that devil tries to go against our brother Tony, we got to be able to stand there and say, you know what? He's got to come through us first. You say, man? Let's all stand. I don't want to drag this up. After I had sung that song and I was praising the Lord, I'd gotten my part. I got up to the building, to the register, and I went to go pay for it. And mind you, 37 seconds ago, it seems like, I've just fought these battles where I'm just so, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to do these things. The lady at the register, she said, I want your happiness. She said, you're so happy. I said, well, I'm glad she didn't see what I just went through. Because you know what, as Bud Daniel said, you go up, you'll go down, and you go right back up. So don't ever think because you're going to the down point. Don't think because you're going to the point where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to get over the sickness. I don't know how I'm going to get over the thing. Don't think because you're down here because what? You got to repent. Or not necessarily repent sometimes. Sometimes it's not because you did something wrong. Sometimes it's because God is trying your character. Sometimes God's putting you through something to where you can be a testimony to other people. Amen. Let's have our musicians come forward if you don't mind. Yeah, that lady in the register, she said, oh, so I so like your happiness. You're just so happy and peaceful. And I said, well, sister, should God answer prayer? And I'm walking through. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You can go from a point. Sometimes, you know, the little prayers that we do for blessing our food, we can take advantage of it. Sometimes we can say, you know what, if you'll take a moment in a prayer, don't just say, oh, God, bless this food, and let me go. But take a little time and say, God, thank you for your presence today. God, help me draw closer to you. I'm here to tell you, if the Lord has pricked your heart this morning and you say, Brother Daniel, I know I'd be slacking, but I don't want to. Repent right this morning and get back in line. That's all you've got to do. You say, God, forgive me, and you get right back in line. You get back in step. You know that song, Put My Hands Up, Brother Tim?
I don't know the words. I know how to play it, but I don't know the words.
Okay. Well, next week. I can try to do it, but if you've ever heard me sing, you'll know how scrambled up. If I sing a song sometimes of led by the Spirit, following God, y'all know the tune of that? I'm going to try to sing it anyway.
Led by the Spirit, following God, led by the Spirit, all the sons of God. Listen real closely, be sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, who never fail you. Led by the Spirit, thank you.
verse 3.
Tougher, but God will move heaven and earth. You know, we all are familiar with the phrase or the poem about footsteps in the sands of time, or I think that's what they call it, but it's the poem about when times got really hard and you look down and, you know, Jesus walking beside you, two sets of footprints, and then all of a sudden you see in the hardest times of your life there's only one set. And a person thinks that God, you know, they thought that God had forsaken them, but in reality, that's when he was actually carrying them himself. And that's true. That's absolutely true. And as long as we're trying to fight these things ourselves, as long as we're not totally trusting in him, we're making a big mistake, because he wants to bear it for you. He didn't come to save good people. He came to save people that were bad, right? That wanted to be good, wanted to be fixed. And so that poem is actually there's a lot of truth to that. And I say all the time, God never wastes pain. And I don't know that I've ever tried to explain that a whole lot, but no matter what you go in through your life, God is in control of it. Just like Brother Daniel's using the example of Hannah. You know, it was God that had put that in her. You know, if he had never shut up her womb, she'd have never had the desperation, then there would never have been delivered Samuel the prophet. The mighty prophet, the scripture said, who never let God's words fall to the ground. See, it took that pain and it took all that ridicule that she was receiving week after week and year after year.
That's right.
She had to go through that pain in order for it to bring something forth. And you go through pain, and I'm going to tell you what, you know, God can whip you. And so when we don't obey God and we run from him or whatever it is, we're not obedient, and then all of a sudden your life falls apart. Well, just remember, it's God. He's in control of everything. And if we can humble ourselves and just look to him and say, God, I am sorry, and truly, truly from my heart's remorseful, he'll move heaven and earth on your behalf. And we're familiar with the story of the shepherd who broke the leg of the sheep because he wouldn't obey.
Right.
And so then he carried him on his shoulder, and that sheep began to learn how to trust him. And sometimes God has to do that. But Satan will come along during that time and try to make you think that God has forsaken you. Listen, devil has no power. He has no power except what he's given him. That's right. And so if I was going to preach this morning, I was going to preach about that. That's what was on my mind this morning. And so God is in control of everything. And we need to remember that this week.
That's right.
Because this next week is probably going to be the roughest thing you and I've ever seen as far as a nation. So it can't be good either way. You know,
right.
I say that. But God is in control. And just always remember, no matter what happens, you're a child of God. And it might throw you in desperation. But just remember, he's got it in his control. Amen. Look to him. Go make sure that he's not in the basement. Right?
That's right.
Make sure he's not in the basement, and go to him when things unravel and things go wrong. And you can't go wrong when you do that. You know, Brother Dan was talking about Brother Branham's, you know, he was a man. And that's the problem. People won't let him be a man.
Right.
The word of the Lord in that man's mouth was the word of the Lord.
That's right.
No question about it. But he was a man that had aches and pains just like you and I do, and he has failures and mistakes just like you and I, and he never tried to cover it up. That man was more transparent than anybody I know. And thank God that he was, because when I can look and I can hear him go through the struggles, then it helps me to understand, you know what? I'm human, and yet I'm still a son of God. And so those things are there for a reason. And so, you know, he made his mistakes. Sometimes he didn't have dates right, and I do the same thing. I've had stories, testimonies of things that I've seen. I have seen God do miraculous things. And I catch myself later on questioning, is that really the way that happened? And I know it was, but yet in my own, as time goes on, I get older, and I forget him. I'm like, is that, you know, it's just the human side. But Brother Daniel gave a good example of that. Did it happen? Does this prophet line us to the word? And I've actually had that conversation with people before that have walked away from it. Show me where it wasn't scripture. That he didn't, you know, show me where he taught something contrary to the Bible,
right.
And they won't talk about that. And so, you know, I've said this before, maybe not to y'all, but I was in Pentecost, I was in this church, Brother Perryman is the one that gave me the tapes. My soul was aflame. God had spoke ahead of time and said that he would reveal to me in 92, in time message. I didn't even know there was one, and God did it. And I had the Bible, and I had the tapes. I didn't have this preacher in the message, that preacher in the message. I didn't have this website, that website. I didn't have any of that other stuff. I didn't have an influence from Two Soul. I didn't have an influence from Seven Thunders. I didn't have influence from Perusia. I didn't have none of those influences, all these people that drummed up all this stuff. I had the Bible, and I had the tapes. And I thank God that he had me that way for a while.
Yes. Right.
Because I didn't fall for all that other nonsense when it came my way later.
Amen.
Because I had my Bible, and I had the tapes, and I saw what that man was preaching, made that Bible come alive. It was laying there. Everything he said was laying there. And I realized that God had brought me to an end time message just like he said he would do. Mm-hmm. Amen? And so that's their mistake. We'll let Brother Graham be a man, but we'll let God be God.
Right.
And not question it. Because we see God as perfect in everything he does. And so, you know, we need the presence of the Lord. I'm just commenting on little things that Brother Daniel said there a little while ago that sparked something in me. And we want God's presence in our life. And you know what? We need to make sure that we reverence what he's done. We need to reverence that presence.
Yes.
We need to make sure that we make room for that presence in our life and in our home. I'll tell you what, when things start falling apart in this nation, you'll want God in your house.
Right.
I want him in my house. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We want to make sure that we live in such a way that he's welcome, and we're leading up to that kind of presence in our life, so that when hard times come, we have that confidence. And so we certainly want to do that. We need his presence. This whole thing Brother Daniel was preaching this morning, they all come to me there. He's talking about the pulse. You know, you look at a person's heartbeat pulse. If it's not doing that, it's dead.
Yeah.
See a woman having contractions, you know. And I was thinking about that as he mentioned that. Your heart makes it thrust, and it shoves that blood through there to get that oxygen to where it needs to go. And if it didn't pump again, then the effects of that previous one would wane away and you'd die. So we need another pump. And it goes and it does it, and then it's waning away. And I realize that our walk as a Christian, our ups and our downs, we're going along through the downs, and God gives us a heartbeat. Boom. And then it comes out, and boom, up and down. And so I realized in our walk, see, I never thought of it in this manner, but in our walk, because we're having those up and down, that means we got the heartbeat of God.
That's right.
That means that he is pumping into us life. Boom, boom, boom. But if you didn't have that, you'd be flatlined, you'd be dead.
That's right.
I thought that was just an absolutely wonderful analogy, and so we thank the Lord for that. So, may the Lord richly bless you, Brother Daniel, for what he shared with us this morning. It was good. We can chew on that. And remember, you heard this morning will be good for you this week.
Amen.
Amen. It will be. And pray for our country. You know, the scriptures tells us we should pray for our leaders.
Yes.
It absolutely says that. I know there's a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to pray for this country that backslid. The Bible says to pray for our leaders.
That's right.
And that with as much as within us to live peaceably with all men. And so, you know, I believe Christians need to stand for what's right, and we might find ourselves in a time where standing for what's right means cutting our head off. It's been that way before. Mm-hmm. See, I understand. But what I'm saying is we're coming down where Satan's making his press, mm-hmm. and there's a squeeze coming.
Yeah.
And we're going to find ourselves in a spot where we are bereaved from this world, from the things of this life, the natural things, and God is the only thing we're going to have, him and each other, you know, in him. That's all we're going to have, him and his word, his promises. And so we want to remember that's what's coming. But we have to stand for what's right. And like I said the other day, I always choose what meets the closest things to what my convictions are. When voting or something like that, that's what I would choose, is what's closest to my convictions. You do. I trust you do the same, because you're setting on the gospel message. And so I'm not here to try to tell you how to do things, but I'm here to tell you here's what the gospel is. And I know that the Holy Spirit in your life will lead you in that way. But we have to stand for what's right. This idea that, well, Christians, we're not supposed to vote. Brother Branham voted.
That's right.
He did. He voted, and he said, I would vote for this man again. And no matter how old he got, I would vote for him because I like him. See, but this idea that a Christian, well, you know, our kingdom's not in this world. We are to stand for what's right, and when we've done all we can do to stand, then we just leave the rest of it to the Lord. Amen? And so we want to have the right position and the right attitude, and when everything unfolds, we want to be Christ. Right? We want to be Jesus, because there's a world that's hurting out there. And we, as sons and daughters of God, have something they need. And so just always remember, all things are possible to those that believe. All things are possible. So no matter what you see, no matter what happens, all things are possible if you believe. Amen. You trust in the Lord and you draw that much closer to him. Amen. And so if everything goes really well, we'll see you again next week. Amen. And if it doesn't go really well, it's going to go well anyway, because we're believers.
Amen.
Satan can't. He can't stop us. Amen. He cannot stop us. He's only a tool in the hand of God. You love the Lord?
Amen.
How many appreciated what you heard this morning?
Amen.
How many can raise your hand and say, that did me good?
Amen.
I can use that. Amen. So Lord bless you. We got a song? When I get up here, my mind, as far as songs goes, my mind goes blank. I can't think of a song in the songbook. So don't ask me to have a song at the end. Unless it hits me back there or somewhere and I write it down and can look at it. So that's why we got Brother Tim here.
That's why I have the songs cheer sheet in.
Lord bless you.
If that same spirit